Good morning. It's good to see you today, and we're thankful for the opportunity we have to be together to worship God. I welcome you and welcome the visitors that we have, and invite you to get a Bible and join us as we engage in Bible study this morning, and for the intent and purpose is that we can find the applications of God's Word and will for our lives, that we can honor and glorify Him in all we say, all we do, that we can appeal to His throne of mercy, that we can find mercy and grace and compassion to forgive us when we need it, and that in turn we can be those of His people who will be helping each other to do His will, to live for Him now, that we can live together with Him throughout eternity. So with that in mind, we want to contemplate for a few minutes this morning what God's Word says about vessels of honor. And, you know, life is full of decisions. And most of them are pretty trivial. I mean, what tie am I going to wear today? You know, am I going to, what color shirt, you know, so on and so forth. Most of the decisions we make are kind of like that. But sometimes we have to be careful, because sometimes we can treat the trivial decisions as, we can blow them out of proportion and make the trivial decisions very big. And in turn, we can treat the important decisions as somewhat trivial. So it even can become a very trivial matter in the minds of many of whether or not to even worship God, or to take time with God's Word, to know His will and to live His will. Things that are central and important. I mean, things like becoming a Christian. It's a tremendously important decision. One that deserves to be thought of carefully, attention given to know the cost and to pay the price. The decision of who you'll marry, a tremendously important decision, because that's going to affect this life and eternity for you. Will we have children? What career path will I take? What education will I pursue? Varying degrees of importance in particular individuals' lives, but crucial to all of us is, will I be a Christian? Will I choose to follow Jesus, be saved, or will I choose to live in a way that leads me to eternal death? So without a question, that's where we want to focus our attention, is becoming a Christian and then being the Christian God wants us to be. When we make that decision to become a Christian, it's a decision to be in the house of God, for the Lord to put us into His house, into His family. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 says that the church is the house of God. Hebrews 3 and verse 6, that we are His house if we continue in faithfulness. So Christians compose God's house, God's family. We know what it means to be, to have a house, to have a family. And Paul draws upon that illustration in our text this morning. He says there's many vessels in a house. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20. Some for honor and some for dishonor. I mean, think about your own house, in which your domicile, in which your family, your house lives. Your house lives in a house. You have a family that lives in a house. Maybe it's an apartment, but it's a place. What kind of containers, vessels do you have? Well, you might have flower pots, you might have trash can, you know, I'd have a basket of fruit. You might have a pail for dirty diapers. If you don't, there's some expectant mothers that will soon. All kinds of different containers, some for food and some for waste. You may have crystal. You may have china. You may have the everyday plastic cups. We designate them often by how they're used. In the house, do we cook with them, or do we put dirt in them for a flower to grow? I mean, so we understand that concept. It's an easy one to grasp. The point that is being made is that we are vessels in God's house. We are containers in the house of God. And Timothy, being told by Paul, Timothy, you have to make daily decisions that are going to decide and determine what kind of container you're going to be in God's house. And not just you, Timothy, but every Christian. Because you see, everyone who names the name of the Lord, if we're going to wear the name Christian, we make a decision what kind of vessel, container we will be. We choose the type of container we're going to be. The preacher doesn't decide it for you. Your parents don't decide it for you. Elders don't decide it for you. Your neighbor doesn't decide it for you. You decide the kind of vessel you will be in the house of God, whether for honor or for dishonor. Because you see, simply being in God's house, while crucial, just because we decide to be in God's house, just because we decide to become a Christian, does not necessarily mean that we're a vessel of honor. Note the application. He says in a house there's vessels of honor and dishonor. We have to choose what kind of vessel we will be. Now, we can be a Christian, we can wear the name Christ, but be a vessel of dishonor. And that's pretty obvious from verse 19, and even before that, here are some men teaching error, leading people away from the faith. That was dishonorable. Though they had been baptized, though they were New Testament Christians, they were Christians in Christ, they were not conducting themselves honorably. They were not vessels of honor. So let's remember, first of all, that just being a Christian doesn't mean I'm automatically a vessel of honor. I have to choose what kind of container I will be, what kind of life I will have, what kind of life I will live in the house of God. And that's what this verse focuses on. What kind of person is a vessel of honor? We all want to be vessels of honor. So how do we accomplish that? The Word of God tells us what that means in this text and how we can be containers, vessels that are honorable before God. Well, the text says, first of all, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter in his text, verse 21, he's looking up to verse 20. We have to purge ourselves from things that are dishonorable. The dishonorable. We have to purge ourselves from sin. If we want to be a vessel of honor in the house of God, we have to cleanse ourselves. I mean, when you cook with a pot or a bowl, you eat out of a bowl, you finish it, and you put it back in the shelf, don't you? In the cabinet. Well, of course not. You cleanse it. You wash it. Now, what about us in our lives? We baptized into Christ, but what do we do then? We just go about our business? No, we're supposed to have repented before we were baptized, which is a change of heart that's going to produce works worthy of repentance. A life that's changed, that's different. A vessel of honor. We're going to commit ourselves to cleansing ourselves from those things that are dishonorable, he says there. Well, look at, in our context, some dishonorable things. Things we need to cleanse ourselves of. First of all, we need to cleanse ourselves from profane babblings or messages in verses 14 through 16. You know, everything that we say needs to be approved of God. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. He continues, their message will spread like cancer. So here are the profane and idle babblings, the words that strive to no profit and ruin hearers. It's not the word of truth, it's word of error. It's a message, verse 17. Their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth. So error. We need to purge ourselves of error. We need to purge ourselves of messages that distract and discourage and condemn. We need to speak the truth. Like saying that they were saying resurrection is already past. There's a lot of discouraging messages in the religious world. And there are discouraging messages that can come out of our mouths. And we need to be careful. He says they were overthrowing people's faith. If I'm going to cleanse myself and be a vessel of honor, I'm going to take time and attention to be careful what comes out of my mouth, because that's a reflection of what's in my heart. I'm going to speak the truth rather than error. We need to depart from iniquity. Look at verse 19. Nevertheless, the firm foundation or solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His, and let he who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity, depart from lawlessness. Be careful to, we're going to depart, we're going to leave those things that are sin. See, this is a decision we make every day, because we're going to be tempted every day, and we're going to have to decide, will I yield or will I depart? He furthers that point in 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So flee the lusts and pursue purity. That's how we become a vessel of honor, is we deliberately choose to depart from. Look at some words he uses here in this text. Shun, verse 16. Depart, verse 19. Flee, verse 22. Avoid, verse 23. And then he says, pursue the purity in verse 22. So removing ourselves from the influence, the draw, the appeal, the practice of those things that are lawless or sinful or against the will of God. Now, we can only do that if we are learning the word of truth, verse 15, if we're learning God's word and will so that we can live that in our lives, which He wants us to do. So, refuse. Also, he says, refuse the foolish disputes, verse 23, as he sums that up and really contrasts it then in verse 24, that the Lord's servant must not quarrel, but be gentle towards all and able to teach and patient and in humility correcting those who oppose themselves. So, to purge myself from sin, I've got to give daily attention to the words of my mouth, as David said, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, that they will be acceptable to God. And then practice that by fleeing sin, departing iniquity, and pursuing purity. And not allow myself to be that person who generates the disputes and strivings that are sinful, but rather to bring honor to God in His house by pursuing that which is right. Purge from sin. We've got to work on that. And how do we do that? Well, we don't put sin in our heart. Verse 22. There's the fleeing and the pursuing. You know, we don't put trash in the china cabinet container. We shouldn't put the trash of sin in our heart. Because when it's in our heart, then we live in our life. And Scripture tells us that because we are in Christ, we're not to continue in sin. We're not to let it rule us. Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Now we're talking about how to be a vessel of honor. So, having been baptized into Christ, now I'm to no longer continue in sin. I've died to sin in Christ. Now I'm to, what, verse 12? Now I'm to live as a slave of righteousness. Verse 12 says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. You decide. Do not let means you can let, but you don't have to let. Do not let sin reign in your body, that you should obey it in its lusts. The lust to sin is not greater and more powerful than the ability to resist it. Note that. We can't say, well, it was just too much. I just couldn't do it. No, we can do it. And we're called by faith to do it. Doesn't mean it's easy. But here's the point. We choose what kind of vessel, what kind of person, what kind of container we want to be in God's house, to be a slave of righteousness. And so verse 13, he continues, "Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God." Maybe that's a big part of it. We have to present ourselves to God. Who are we presenting ourselves to? If we want to be a vessel of honor, we have to present ourselves to God as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace." Again, he emphasizes, sin shall not have dominion. So if I want to be a vessel of honor by purging myself of sin through Christ, obviously the purging is through His blood. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." But you see, that cleansing is about our spiritual growth too. Growth comes as we will purge ourselves, cleanse ourselves. The vessel of honor does what? Purges himself from the latter, from the dishonorable things. James 1 and verse 21. "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word that's able to save your souls." Got to lay aside the filth, lay aside the dishonor, and we got to receive God's word meekly, and embed it, implant it within us, because it can save our souls. And so Peter said, "Put away all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If indeed you've tasted the Lord is gracious." By tasting of God's grace, partaking of God's grace, now we are compelled. We're driven to lay aside every sinful thought, word, deed, make our commitment to be slaves to God, and in that, be a vessel of honor. Let's go back to our text in 2 Timothy 2, because he also says, if we cleanse ourselves from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified. Okay, so the vessel of honor, having cleansed and purged ourselves of sin, is now sanctified, set apart, set aside for special use. You know, in the Old Testament, when things are sanctified, they're set apart for God's use. The priesthood, and we could, you know, note verses of every one of these, but the priesthood, the priests were set apart, they were sanctified unto God's use. The tabernacle, the holy altar upon which sacrifices were made, the sacrifices themselves, the Sabbath, and even the nation Israel. All of these are said in Scripture to have been sanctified, cleansed, and set apart in holiness to God's service. Now, Paul uses the house and these vessels of honor in God's house to be useful. But before they can be useful, they had to be set apart for the use. So, as I said before, we set apart bowls, pots and pans. We set apart glasses. We set apart trash cans and all of these different things for particular work and services, but they're all set apart for particular use. I mean, you don't want to eat your supper out of the dog bowl, do you? You don't want to eat your food out of the food where you put the dog food. No, it's set apart for the dog. We got other vessels set apart for us. Now, we're the vessel, he says, and we're to be set apart. Now, this plays right upon the point of purging ourselves. Because if I'm filled with sin in my heart and in my life, I can't serve God. I'm useless in His house. I'm defiled. I'm dirt. I'm like the dirty dish. You don't go to the dirty dishes and pull out something for your next meal. So you got to cleanse it, and it's set apart to accomplish God's will. Now, so when the Bible talks about Christians being saints, that's the idea. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth. He said to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. We wouldn't be pure at all. We wouldn't be set apart at all or holy were it not for Jesus. We're baptized into Christ and our sins are washed away. So we're set apart and added to God's house. But he says, because we're sanctified, he's writing to those called to be saints or called saints. Called holy ones. The idea of sanctified is holiness. And so, the vessel of honor. You want to be a vessel of honor? Serve what is holy. Serve righteousness. Go back to Romans 6 with me. Because again, Romans 6, having emphasized that we're not to continue in sin, that's not how we serve God, goes on in 19, verse 19, he says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more unlawlessness. Now he's describing before we're Christians. Before we obeyed from the heart the doctrine delivered to us, verse 17. Before we obeyed the gospel from the heart and were saved, we were slaves of uncleanness. Enslaved to sin. It was ruling over us, dominating us unto death. But he says, so now present your members. He's talking about your body. When he says your members, your body, yourself, as slaves of righteousness for holiness or for or unto sanctification. That's the word here. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Because when we served sin, we weren't righteous. What fruit did you have then when you were lost in sin, when you were not a Christian? What fruit did you have then in the things of which you're now ashamed? We didn't have any righteous fruit. But now that you're in Christ, you ought to be ashamed of the fruit you bore before you were a Christian. He said, and here's why, because the end of those things is death. If we're not ashamed of the past things, or let me rephrase that, being ashamed of the past things helps and incentivizes us to live differently, to now serve righteousness, to live sanctified lives. Verse 22, but now, having been set free from sin, we're set free from those things that condemn us and destroy us, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, unto sanctification, and the end, everlasting life. So, slaves of unrighteousness leading to death, or slaves of righteousness, which means we're slaves to God, unto sanctification. And that ultimately leads us to everlasting life. Now, you want to be a vessel of honor? Then take a hard look at what we serve. If I want to be a vessel of honor, I had to take a hard look at who my master is right now in my life. What's controlling me? What's dominating me? Where am I making my decisions? What am I serving? Because if I'm not serving God, then I am serving unrighteousness, and that leads to death. You want to be a vessel of honor in God's house, then let us, having cleansed ourselves, be set apart and be about the task of righteousness in our lives. Holy living. The Word of God says we're to be holy like God is holy. Doesn't it? 1 Peter 1. But now, go back to our text, because we asked and answer, who is a vessel of honor? Well, having cleansed ourselves in Christ, purged ourselves of sin, living sanctified, holy before Him, serving His will and purposes revealed in His Word, then we become useful for the Master. The vessel of honor is useful to accomplish the Master's will. After all, the slave is under the will of the Master. Now, Romans 6:22 says Christians are slaves to God. We yield our will to the Master. And we become useful. Look at the verse. Sanctified now. He's this vessel of honor. Sanctified and useful for the Master. The vessel of honor is useful. You know, a shovel that has a broken handle is not very useful. Can't do much with a broken handle shovel. Can't do much with a bowl that breaks. Oh, I don't know. You just try to glue it together, but probably not going to work very well for very long. So we want to be useful to the Master. Then we're taking the right steps. We became a Christian. Purge our heart. Purge our conduct. Continue to live in God's Word and learn God's Word so we can grow thereby and we can put away the sin and live for Jesus. But now, I want to key on this idea of usefulness for a minute. You see, we all have abilities. We all have the ability to work and serve our Master. The question is, will I develop myself to accomplish His will or not? And again, here's the decision point for us. Will I be useful to the Master? Or will I be useful to myself? Because if I'm useful to myself, I'm like the broken handle shovel. I'm not going to accomplish the work the Lord wants to be done. If I don't cleanse myself, if I'm not working on purging that sin, if I'm not sanctified, offering myself and my body to His will, then I won't be useful. But we can decide to be useful and never decide that you're not useful, or you can't be useful, or that you can't be more useful to the Master. You know, the man went on a far journey, Jesus said, teaching a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who went on a far journey. And he called his servants together and he gave them talents, that is, money, according to each one's ability. And he gave to one five, another two, and another one. And the one who had five talents, he went out and made five more for his Master. The one who had two went out and made two more for his Master. But the one talent man, he dug a hole and buried his Master's goods and thought he'd done well because he just was able to give back the Master what the Master gave him. The Master's given us blessings, opportunities, abilities. Do we bury them or do we develop them? A vessel of honor is useful. When a pot is no longer useful, there's a hole in the pot, what do you do? Well, you might try to repair it, and God wants us and will repair us. But you see, if a vessel breaks, it's no longer useful. So we want to be useful, and we can be useful. But here's the decision point. I've got to decide that is my priority in life. I have to have this priority. Now, God's my Master. I'm a slave. Holiness is my objective. Purity is my pursuit. So, we're talking about priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Jesus said. And all these things will be added to you. The decisions that aren't so important, like, again, Jesus' words, not mine. What will you eat? What you'll drink? What you'll be clothed with? The less important decisions we often make as the most important decisions, and we justify making the lesser the most important, and the most important we push down the list. You see, if I want to be a vessel of honor, I have to daily recommit myself to my priorities to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that, of course, means to have a ready, willing mind to do so. Whatever it is, the task that's before us as in God's house, serving a purpose that's His purpose and developing that ability to meet that purpose, begins with a ready heart. 2 Corinthians 8:12. When Paul was appealing to the churches to give to help needy saints in Jerusalem, the Gentile churches, he said, "It's acceptable according as one has, not according as what one does not have." It began with the heart. If anyone has a willing heart, he says, "It's acceptable according as one has, not what he does not." You see, it wasn't about how much they gave. It was about, first of all, the heart with which they gave. Because when the heart's in place, then the giving follows. That's why the poor widow gave more than all the rich people, throwing a lot of money into the treasury. Because she gave the two mites all that she had, all her living. Priorities. Mary did what she could in preparing the body of Jesus for burial with the ointment in Mark 14. We can do what we can do, brethren. And not just say, "Well, that's all I can do." No, we can do what we can do, and we can do more in our lives for Jesus, can't we? We can continue to commit ourselves to do more, to be better, to be stronger, to be more effective, more useful for the Master. Not for ourselves. Not for someone else, for the Lord. But see, when we serve each other, of course, we serve the Lord, don't we? So it becomes for others, but it's ultimately the Lord. Useful for the Master. That's the vessel of honor. Unfortunately, some don't do that. Some, like the one talent man, just bury it. And look how that causes problems. How that retards and destroys, ultimately. Because when by reason of time, you ought to be teachers. Grow. Mature. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have such as become need of milk and not solid food. Now, it just occurs to me that when I don't grow as I should in the Word and will of God, then I'm depriving the time of the teacher to teach me again the rudiments of the gospel when he could be teaching somebody else. See that? So I become a hindrance if I'm not growing to maturity. If I'm just saying, "No, I've grown enough, that's it." Or if I don't even progress in my growth. If I want to be useful to the Master, a vessel of honor, don't be like that person. But instead, with a ready mind, maintain the priorities that we see in the poor widow or in Mary or in many others in the New Testament. Because you see, we are Christ's only workers today. We must meet our responsibilities to be useful to the Master, to be a vessel of honor. And then, if we'll do that, then we're prepared for every good work. The vessel of honor is ready, is equipped, is prepared for every good work. Available to do the work of God that needs to be done. You see? You know, where do you put your favorite skillet, ladies or guys who cook? Where do you put that? Somewhere where you can reach it, where you know where it is. You don't have to go hunting for it. Where is that pot? Well, so we want to be that person for the work of God, don't we? Ready, prepared, equipped. How's that accomplished? Well, this text tells us we're prepared for use by the Scriptures. Verse 15. He said, "Be diligent, present yourself approved to God, a worker that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Handling God's word properly because we are workers using it. By the Scriptures. Through God's grace. I'm sorry, I pushed the wrong button. Through God's grace, we are what we are. Paul said, "I am what I am by God's grace." We're prepared by recognizing it's God's grace and favor that sustains us. And over time, as we do His work and do His will, like the skillet that you use over and over, it becomes seasoned. Iron skillets, at least. Seasoned to do that cooking. We to be seasoned Christians, ready to seize our opportunities. Galatians 6:10. As you have opportunity, why? Because you're prepared. You're equipped. You're ready for the good work. To all men, especially the household of faith. So what kind of vessel are we? What kind of vessel are you? What kind of vessel am I? Vital decisions in life. To become a Christian, to be a vessel, be saved from our past sin, but then to be a vessel of honor by cleansing ourselves from the dishonor of sin through Jesus Christ. By being holy in thought and deed, sanctified, to be useful, to give ourselves to the task and the priority of accomplishing the Master's will, and to be ready, to be prepared, to be available, to do the work of God. There are eternal consequences to the decision we make. If we're not a vessel of honor, serving the Lord, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus. And so we equip ourselves for daily service. And Paul emphasizes that in the text as we close, is verse 19. The Lord knows who are His. This is a solid foundation that stands. God has His seal of approval on this point. The Lord knows those who are His. He knows if we're a vessel of honor or of dishonor. He knows whether in cleansing from sin, we're purging ourselves, cleansing our hands, purifying our hearts, sanctified, useful and prepared or not. And therefore, because the Lord knows, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let us make that choice of faith to be a vessel of honor in the house of God. And by so doing, serve our Master's purposes and will. And so honor His name, and He will lead us to eternal life in His Son. If you're not a Christian, you need to begin that. You need to be in God's house. The Lord will add you to His church, His house, when in faith you'll confess that faith, repent, and be baptized into Jesus Christ. And as Christians, then, to walk in that fellowship with God. But if we sin, understand we can be forgiven of that. And the Bible says that we need to perfect holiness in the fear of God. We need to pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And so if there's sin in our lives, let's pursue holiness. Let's be cleansed through a repentant heart, a prayerful seeking of forgiveness, and God will forgive us. We urge a response to His call while we stand and while we sing.